The West Live. The West Live with Ben O'Shea.
Fearless Friday with Jeff Parry.
Joining me now in the studio is Channel 7's Jeff Parry. G'day, mate.
Hello, Ben. How are you?
Good. Well, I want to come out of the gate pretty hard today, and let's talk about this COVID outbreak in Victoria, second day in a row where they've recorded more than 700 daily cases. And so the five-day rolling out, average of cases going back a couple of days ago had crept above 600. And so the question to you is, why hasn't the WA government declared Victoria an extreme risk jurisdiction?
That is a mystery. And we've been asking various journalists that have gone along to Mr. McGowan's press conferences in the last few days, when it edged over 500, five-day rolling average, when are you going to declare Victoria as extreme? And he's sort of sidestepped the question and hasn't done that, which is what everyone expected, because that's what they did pretty promptly with New South Wales when they got to that threshold. They were declared extreme.
I'll take you back to that. When that happened, Premier Mark McGowan said the five-day rolling average of cases in New South Wales is now 531, and that has triggered the reclassification up from high risk to extreme risk. Victoria is above 600.
Well, they'll be talking now. I mean, health advice. That's what they always say, don't they?
It's the best health advice.
This is the best health advice. But the best health advice has changed, if you like, from when New South Wales crossed the threshold, and Victoria has done it already, and no change. Now, I don't know whether the fact that we've got a grand final being staged here tomorrow might be a factor in that health advice. You know, how would you know? But I could imagine this scenario, Ben, where they're saying, oh, look, we've got the grand final, Melbourne's in all sorts of trouble, they're already high risk, so we're not getting too many of them, only on compassionate grounds. Let's not kick them in the guts while we're about to stage their grand final.
Yeah, I think 100% that's what's going on here. This is about optics. And look, it's not the first time that we've looked at what's happening in the Labor Party in WA and thought, you know, maybe the spin doctors are running the show. But, like, I struggle to see how you can claim that the best health advice is at work here when they're not doing the same thing that they did for New South Wales.
I don't know whether there's any technical. Well, I mean, as we discussed before, it's you go from high risk to extreme, and then no one gets in at extreme, so not even the compassionate cases. Now, I don't know whether there's some, because there are people. I mean, everyone who was involved in the grand final are here. No one's. There's no extras. You'd have to quarantine anyway. So there's nothing that sort of that you could imagine that they're holding out for, other than that it is. Let's not be so cruel as to remind them of the problems that they're in while we've got the grand final. I mean, I don't know that there's any other reason other than that, when you consider that they moved so quickly when New South Wales recorded rolling average, which triggers you going from high risk to extreme.
But I think this really needs some more analysis, though, because it's currently this is the requirements if you're coming from Victoria. You have to get a G2G pass, right? Which,
yes,
they don't just give it to everybody at the moment because it's a high-risk jurisdiction. But under the high-risk rules, that means you can, once you've got your G2G pass, you can come in and you can self-quarantine at a suitable premises. So you're not going into hotel quarantine. If you've got a house where you can hole up there and not go around anyone else, you're allowed to do that. Except that's all well and good, except we're talking about people who are coming in from a place where it should be extreme risk, where we've seen 700 cases of COVID a day. You'd have to say that it's a Delta outbreak is running rampant there in Victoria at the moment. So what risk are we taking in Western Australia by not putting people into a hotel quarantine when they're coming from that jurisdiction?
Well, look, when you think about it, though, I mean, that five-day rolling average is an arbitrary figure that they've plucked out and said, right, this is when you're going to trigger it. So, I mean, it could have been 400, it could be 700. I mean, you know, I'm not a scientist.
But that's the best health advice again, then, isn't it?
Well,
isn't that the best health advice?
They set that figure at 500, and that's what, you know, I mean, that's an, I don't know whether it's a number they've plucked out of their ear or whether it's scientifically based. The difference is that they haven't applied it when it comes to Victoria. Now, I don't know what to say. I share your suspicions that it's all about the grand final, not about the health advice. They may be saying, well, and this is a political decision, not a health decision, that, okay, well, we're near enough there. Let's not impose any more grief on them, and we'll just, you know, we won't remind you how bad a position you're in by making you an extreme case.
It looked pretty bloody cynical if they announced it on Sunday. I'll tell you what.
Do you think?
I hope they at least wait till Monday, just so they don't treat us all like idiots.
Well, has that ever happened before?
No. Let's talk about the grand final. Have you got big plans?
I got very big plans. I scored a ticket at the last moment, so I'm very.
Are you going?
I am. I'm very happy.
Fantastic. Yeah, I'm going too.
Yeah, good. Well, I'm very happy about that. I'm barracking for the Bulldogs.
Oh yeah, for any reason?
Yes, because way back in the days before AFL and there was VFL and Waffle, Subiaco is my Waffle team, and I had a Victorian team. Footscray, my dad's Navy mate from the Second World War. His family lived in Footscray, so that was the team that I supported back in the day, and they obviously became the Western Bulldogs, so I'm going for them. I know Melbourne's got a bit of a sort of a sorrier story, but yeah. You know, the Bulldogs. You know, they're a deserving side as well.
So, oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think what they've overcome over the last, you know, sort of 6 weeks or so of the season, they've been just absolutely spectacular, sort of knocking down every obstacle in front of them.
Yep.
I personally don't have any real emotional attachment, and it's actually a relief. Like, you've reminded me, I've got to actually pay back the mate who managed to log on and get the general admission ticket for us and a few fellas to go along. But it's a relief to be able to go along and not feel too emotionally invested and just enjoy the spectacle, enjoy the game.
I agree. This is my second grand final. I got to go to a grand final when the Dockers were playing and unfortunately lost. I'm not a Dockers supporter. I was supporting the Dockers, but I'm not invested in it, and I'm not invested in the grand final on Saturday as I would be if the Eagles were playing or any sort of Eagles game that you go to. I mean, they're your team, and you know, every week's a new game sort of thing. So you're right, and I think it's, I mean, the MCG, a grand final at the MCG is just like superb. It's fantastic. But I think this one's going to be just as good in terms of atmosphere and all that sort of stuff. And you're right, Ben. I mean, I hope the Bulldogs win. I hope they beat them by 5 goals, you know, whatever. But if they don't, I'll be congratulating Melbourne, as everyone will be. And it would have been a great day out.
Yeah, and I just hope the crowd, it really gets vocal and gets into it, and they're not sort of, because they're not as emotionally invested as if it was their own team, they're not just sort of sitting back clapping politely, and I really hope they get amongst it in the same way they would as if it was the Eagles or the Dockers, and every hand pass, every tackle, just like going up, and you get that huge roar of the crowd.
What do you think of this idea of like a minute's clapping and applause for... you know, before the game, I think Basil, the loud mayor, has promoted this, suggesting that people have a minute, you know, clapping.
Yeah. Well, look,
for the people in Melbourne,
I like it. Like, yeah. You know, it's certainly better than declaring them an extreme risk, which is the government's not going to do. But like, I think it is actually
you've
really
let that
nice.
Go. You've got to let that go for the moment.
It's been bothering me all week, but I finally had a chance to let it out. But no, I think it's actually a really lovely gesture, and I think everybody in WA is well aware that the only reason we have this game is because of all of the terrible things that are happening in Melbourne at the moment, and including this week an earthquake, which is just, they've got to be the last straw for them. And these protests, oh gosh, it's just so terrible.
As someone said, I mean, just imagine if the earthquake had a hit while the unionists were on the Westgate Bridge occupying it. Well, at least it would have been in one place. But,
yeah, exactly.
But I mean, they're just getting shellacked at the moment, aren't they?
I'm just expecting to see a plague of locusts go past, and then we'll know that the apocalypse has arrived.
And they're kicking off again today because it's a public holiday.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's just really heartbreaking to see, because I think, you know, Melbourne has probably always been the city that Perth has the closest connection to. We like to think of ourselves as sometimes a bit like Melbourne in some ways, and we aspire to be like them, and culturally, and like the small bars, and football, of course, is something that we have in common. So I think it has been tough to see how difficult it's been for Melburnians and Victorians. And I think there's pride, right? Like WA is proud to be able to do the best show we can.
Oh, look, certainly. And I think you're right about that sort of closeness. Because, well, you know, for years we've had our footy players going over there playing in the VFL. You know, the, I think that footy connection is the link. Sydney's this big – I actually prefer Sydney to Melbourne, to be honest.
Yeah, you know, I do too.
And it's, and it's, but it's big and it's brassy and it's, you know, like it's expansive and there's heaps of water and bays and all that sort of stuff. Beautiful coastline. But Melbourne's a really, you know, like a grown-up Perth, if you like. Can you sort of describe it like that?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and it's still a great city, even as our preference is Sydney. But, you know, Melbourne is a top town. And I think there is, I think we probably consider ourselves lucky to get the grand final. Mm. I mean, this is just an opportunity that never comes along won't and never will again while we're alive. And you know, everyone wants it to be such a big event.
Well, I was in Rebel Sport up in Caranup yesterday, and as soon as you walk in the door, they've got Melbourne and Western Bulldogs merch right in the front door, and they've also got these AFL official T-shirts for the grand final. It's got a picture of the Perth skyline and actually has the words, "Once in a Lifetime."
Right.
Well, across the top of it. And so it's pretty special. And it was almost undone because of a couple of truckies.
I know, and didn't our hearts sort of skip a beat? Now, when we got... Because, you know, we get these alerts that suddenly, and then when they're snap press conferences.
Yeah, when you've only got sort of like an hour's notice, you know it's COVID.
Roger Cook will do
a COVID-19 update.
Saying, it's a snap press conference, but where's McGowan? And then Mr. Cook walks out and there's the commissioner, Mr. Dawson, walking with him. Oh, you know, what's going on? And as it turned out, I mean... You know, the sounds of it, and they were quite relaxed about it. But you know, we did have a driver who tested positive, who was in WA for 2 days, and you know, we reported it. And here's your exposure sites, all that sort of stuff. But I think they were pretty quick to point out that, you know, such a short time period to the grand final, we're probably going to get through this. So you know, no one's panicking, obviously, but you know, fingers crossed for the best that nothing bad went wrong. It hasn't. I don't think they. I mean, now
it looks pretty
good.
They
can't. I don't think they could. They couldn't do it now. They couldn't sort of. If we got a COVID case today, surely they couldn't shut it down.
Yeah. Well, there was that. Remember, there was that game that they made the decision on the day to play it without crowds.
It was so the people were actually rolling up at the gates and they were turning them the right way. That's how snapped that was.
Knock on wood. Can you hear that?
Yeah. So I don't think you could do it now. And now look, everyone's expecting COVID some stage. So, you know, if it comes tomorrow, well, what's a day? Let's get on with the game and then. Do what you do after that.
Yeah, exactly. Certainly. When I saw McGowan wasn't at that press conference, I sort of thought, no, we'll be all right. If it was going to be something really bad, he would have been there. He does. He's been pretty good like that, I think.
Oh, yeah.
He's been there to stand up and reassure everybody. He's also been pretty good at reassuring us that John Quigley hasn't done anything wrong this week in accepting a free helicopter ride. What have you made of that situation?
I'm not as twisted out of shape as some people are over the helicopter ride. Those two men have been friends for years, and I noticed Mr. Quigley's office pulled out the part of the ministerial responsibility that, you know, like gifts from personal...
You can be mates.
I thought the weirdest thing was the Premier's explanation that you're not a minister 24 hours of the day. Well, you are.
Yeah.
Yes, you are. You know, I mean, that was sort of quite a bizarre explanation and it didn't really fly with anyone.
But doesn't that also then fly in the face of all of the criticism that they've levelled at Liberal politicians over the years who may have got up to mischief or done something, you know, outside of office hours, or all the stuff that Troy Buswell got up to?
Well, it's interesting because in the last week or so, the Premier would not engage on Christian Porter. Now, there's a federal election coming up, and if he wanted to, and they will, I mean, they'll remind, when the election's on, they'll be reminding people of Mr. Porter's situation. And, I mean, he wouldn't bite on that at all, which was interesting because I thought, well, here's your opportunity and you're not taking it. But so whether he knew that questions were around about Mr. Quigley, you know, who knows. But it was a very, very weak attempt at explaining away something that you know, people were asking questions about it, but wasn't, I think, was explainable.
Yeah, and I honestly think that if the Premier had come out, I think, with a better response initially, this wouldn't have become nearly as big as it did.
Oh, Well, certainly. I think, you know, as I said, I mean, I think the biggest mistake was that was made by Mr. McGowan in trying to explain what Mr. Quigley did. I mean, is you know, the David Honey, the leader of the Liberals, is sort of saying, well, you know, this was a substantial gift, you know, like $2,500 worth of, you know, to charter a helicopter to fly from Perth to Margaret River, not for John Poyton. I mean, you know, that's pocket change, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
I've got a helicopter, come for a ride. Yeah. He's probably being...
Did he fly it? Did he?
He does fly it.
His wife.
His wife is a helicopter pilot as well.
Yeah, wow.
They use it like an Uber, I think.
I'll tell you what.
And good luck to them.
You wouldn't get me in a sort of a hobbyist pilot's plane or helicopter for love or money. The number of those things that go down.
This is a rigidige sort of.
I want someone who does that for a living.
Millions of dollars.
Not
worth
someone
a helicopter.
Who does it for a hobby. Forget about it.
I think he flies enough. I think he's pretty experienced.
Are you going to hang around when we start talking about the Wild West
with Kate? I'd love to.